know, many people are asking what we should do in times of crisis. I guess it's been more prevalent. We all face crisis every day, just about in some type of crisis, but not like this. This situation has upended everybody's lives, you know, isolation, unemployment, and on the list goes. And, you know, it seems like it's got people sort of unstable and in fear. So I want to share some things tonight with you that I believe that will help you in the natural and the spiritual. Because now, you know, we're facing I can't even pronounce the word. Anyway, this virus that we're facing. Hey, this is live. And if you were sitting here, you'd all be laughing at me. You're probably laughing at me out there, so that's good. That's good. Okay? You know, we're facing this, but in our lives, as we live our lives every day, we face different situations and crisis. And what we know determines how we will respond to these situations. Now, our response to the things that happen around us will determine whether we overcome or not. You know, we choose our response before we ever have the trouble. You know, I choose before I ever face any situation, I choose that I will stand on the Word of God. I will quote the Word of God. Now, many times in a crisis situation or in a situation of something happening that we out of unexpected, our response, it comes out of emotion. Anytime you make a response out of emotion, it's probably going to result in disaster. Now, if we look at David, he experienced a lot of different crises in his life. If you just know anything about his life at all, he faced a giant. King Saul chased him all over the place. The Philistines was always trying to defeat him. His own son tried to overthrow throw him out as king. So he faced all kinds of situations. He says in Psalms 34:19, he says, the righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time. Now, we can learn lessons from these Bible characters that face situations. We can be strengthened in our faith by seeing how they triumph over the situations in their life. Now, I believe that this message tonight will help you to determine ahead of time your response in a crisis situation. So I'm going to look at several different truths for you tonight. First of all, you got to realize that trouble will come. Not, you know, some people say, well, I don't know. No, trouble is inevitable. We will have trouble. But how we face it and how we deal with it is another situation. John 16:33, Jesus said, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials, sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Now, there's a translation called the Passion Translation. I want to read this. And everything I taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrow, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. You see, if your goal is to live a trouble-free life, you'll never attain it. Not as long as we're living on this earth. One time a fella asked my dad, said, "Brother Hagin, would you pray that I wouldn't have any more trouble?" And my dad said, "Well, you only pray that you'll die." Because as long as we're in this earth, we're going to face some troubles. We're going to face some trials. We're going to face situations. You know, one person said this, being challenged in life is inevitable. Being defeated is optional. That's a good statement. I'm going to say that again. Being challenged in life is inevitable. Being defeated is optional. Now, we've got to learn that when things come against us, and sometimes people come against us personally, we don't take it personal. Because when the enemy comes against you, he is trying to stop the plan of God in your life. He's trying to stop you from receiving what God said is yours. You know, sometimes people take, if they have any adversity or any trouble, they seem to begin to, "Well, what did I do wrong?" That's not necessarily true. Now, sometimes it is, but most of the time it's not. It is simply the enemy trying to knock you out of getting the promises of God and getting your life all in your life what God says belongs to you. You know, sometimes people want to take, anytime trouble comes to them, they want to take it as an indicator that they're out of the will of God. That is not so. In fact, most of the time, you can do the opposite, because it's the enemy trying to get you out of the will of God. He, as long as you're not doing anything, he's not going to bother you. You know, I think Paul is a man that followed God and had faith, but he had a lot of trouble. But God always delivered him. That's what you need to remember, is that trouble will come, crisis will come, but they're only temporary, because God will deliver you. Now also, let's remember to keep our heart right. I'm giving you some things that will help you to overcome. Remember to keep your heart right. You remember Jesus said in Luke 23:34, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That's NLT saying that. You know, no matter how bad somebody's treated you, walk in love. Stay in love. Keep your heart right. Don't let any grudges get in there. My dad walked in love and forgiveness, and he taught our whole family to do so. In fact, at his memorial right here in this auditorium, the main thing that most people talked about was his love walk. You know, we need to be careful, though. If we're not careful, we want to play the blame game. You know, well, if it wouldn't have been for this, if it wouldn't have been for that, if it wouldn't have been for something else. No, playing the blame game, it will never get you anywhere. You've got to recognize that where all of this is coming from and keep your heart right, no matter what somebody else does. Ed Cole, and I knew Ed, he's gone to be with the Lord now, but he said this: forgiveness opens, unforgiveness closes. Keeping your heart free of strife, unforgiveness, grudges, bitterness, keeps the door closed for God to come up and work in your behalf. You need to keep your heart right so that God can freely come in and bring the promises of God. Avoid strife. It's important that we learn how to keep our hearts right. Now, something else we can do. We can look to God as our source instead of man. See, so many people are looking for their answer in many different things besides God and the Word of God. Look to God as your source. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, many of you know it, and I'm going to read it from the NLT. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. See, when you acknowledge God as your source, it means that you are submitted to God, that you're going to obey His commands. You're going to follow what He says, not what you think, not what somebody else says, not what this one said, told you, or somebody else told you. What God says. See, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own self. Seek His will, and He'll show you what to do. See, many people in a crisis situation like as we are now, they immediately begin to think different things. But hey, listen, we've got to do what God said to do. We've got to submit to God and be faithful to the Word of God, faithful with our tithes and our offerings. When God blesses you, then give back to Him, because God honors those that honors Him. You know, the confidence that we have from God is that He will perform every promise in this book that He said that He would promise, that He would do. So that means everything, in everything, He is our source. Now, another thing we can do: firmly and steadfastly resist fear or panic. You know, Mark 5:36, this is the story with Jesus with the woman with the issue of blood. But actually, He was on His way to Jairus' house to pray for his daughter. And they came to Him, and as He had stopped to heal this woman, and they told Him, Jairus, don't bother the Master anymore. Your daughter is dead. And this is what verse 5:36 says. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. So now, Jairus is in control of the destiny of his daughter by believing what Jesus said and not giving in to fear. See, fear simply opens the door for more trouble. Faith in God allows Him to move in and kick trouble out the door. Remember, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. See, this means that we have power. See, sometimes in situations such as we are now, we feel like that we can't do anything about it, but we have power. Power in the name of Jesus. We have the love of God, and we have a sound mind to help us in every situation. This means we don't have to let the feelings of fear get control in a time of trouble. This doesn't mean that we don't recognize that it's there. This doesn't mean that we don't recognize the situation. This doesn't mean that we don't do what we need to do in the natural. This simply means that we believe God and quote the Word of God and say what God says. See, Fear and panic will cause you to make mistakes. They'll cause you to do the wrong thing. It will even cripple you in your ability to do things that you normally do well. Faith in God allows us to move mightily in His power and see the impossible accomplished in our lives. I know in the Army, that's one of the things they teach you, never fear, never get in fear, and never panic. First responders, firemen, policemen, first responders, EMTs, they are taught, never get in fear in a situation, never panic. That's the one thing they are taught. I know this because I know a lot of people that are firemen and a lot of people that are in the first responders. That's what they do. And that is the one thing they have, you know. In fact, that's one thing that you're taught in driving is anytime that there is a trouble situation, don't panic. Actually, many people have wrecks because they overreact to a situation because they got in fear rather than calmly and just holding on. It wasn't, what, a year or so ago, I'm coming down Interstate 44 coming one night, coming back from Oklahoma City to Tulsa, and I saw this car go off the side of the road. Well, I held myself steady over here, and the next thing you know, it had hit a deer, which I couldn't see in the dark, and that deer was laying right there. I saw it, but I didn't try to miss it because I knew that it would have threw my car and the sides would slant, maybe rolled it. I just held the wheel steady, went right over the top of it, and I tore all the stuff out from underneath my car. But I didn't wreck. Some people would immediately try to turn the wheel, and when they do, you're going to lose control of the car, and it'll probably go rolling down the highway. You see, you can never go into fear and panic. I don't care what comes your way. God said He would deliver us. I believe He will deliver us from this situation. I believe He will deliver you out of any situation that you get in. Keep your faith in God and don't fear. Now, something else that we can do is to submit to God's ability to take care of you. Jeremiah 32:17 in the NLT says, O sovereign Lord, You made the heavens and the earth by Your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for You. Our situation may look impossible, but remember, we don't know everything. We don't see everything. But God is right there in the middle of our trouble. And we need not to forget that He is there with us. And we need not to forget that God knows the outcome of what we're going through before we ever get there. God knows what to do in every situation. And I've said this many times. Corrie ten Boom said this. Never be afraid to trust a known God with an unknown future. I've had people ask me many times about different things as we went through the ministry here and as I've been in the ministry all these years. What are we going to do? And my answer dumbfounds them. Because I say, I don't know. The future is unknown. But I know God. And I know what he's going to do. He's going to take care of us. He's going to see us through. So, remember, trust God. He is the one that will take care of you. Don't quit trying to take care of yourself and let him take care of you. Okay, another thing that I want to say. Don't allow doubt and unbelief to limit what God can do in your life. Mark 9:23 in NLT says, "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." See, God is only limited by our faith. Our faith limits what he can do in our lives. So we have to avoid looking at the problems because that limits us, and begin to look at the promises of God. You know, put your gaze, fasten your eyes on what God's promises says and not on what the situation is telling you, not on all of the trouble, not on all the negative things, but put your gaze on what God's word says. And when we put our gaze or our attention, another word we could use, on what God says and use our faith, it allows God to come into our lives and turn things around. Now here's something else we need to think about. Admit you can't handle everything. You know, I've met people that they think they can handle everything. They can do it all. No, you got to admit you can't do it and give it to God. And of course, most people know where I'm going now, 1 Peter 5:6-7. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up and honor you. Give all your worries and your cares to God, for he cares about you. You know, some people are too proud to admit that they don't know how to do something. God knows how to do everything. You know, many times I have been asked some things, you know, and I said, "I don't know. I'm not going to worry about it." Here at the ministry, I've been asked, "What are we going to do?" I said, "I don't know, but I'm not going to worry about it." Because I've turned that over to God. And he's the one that's going to take care of it. My faith is in him. I will do everything I know in the natural, but the rest of it depends on him. You see, we've got to be just as quick to submit to God's ability to take care of us as we are to jump on the other side and say, "Oh my Lord, what am I going to do, blah, blah, blah." Hey, we got to immediately say, "No weapon formed against me will prosper. No plague could come near me. My needs are all met according to his riches in glory." See, if you want the blessings of God, you got to be able to turn it all over to him and get yourself out of the way. We weren't designed to carry the burden. God said, "I'll carry it for you." That's why he tells us to give everything to him. Let him take care of it. Now let's go to something else here real quickly. When you've been treated unfairly, trust God to bring you through. Now, I told you that I was going to talk to you about what would help us in the crisis we're in now, but other things, because you face different crises. When somebody has treated you unfairly, you need to stay in the right frame of mind. In Genesis 50:20, this is Joseph talking to his brothers. And he says to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. He brought me to this position so I could save many people." Here, his brothers had meant harm, but God took the situation and turned it around for good. Let me tell you, if you will not try to get even with somebody, but just go ahead and go on serving God and let God take care of it, He'll turn it around. "Yeah, but you don't understand." Yeah, I do. I know what people said about me. Somebody told me the other day, said, "Do you know what so-and-so said about you?" I said, "I don't care." They said, "What?" I said, "I don't care. My trust is in God, and He'll take care of me." You see, we need to walk in love and let God take care of the situation. All right, here's another one. Keep on building and reinforcing your relationship with God and your relationship with others. You know, Psalms 111:1 says, "Praise the Lord. I will thank the Lord with all of my heart as I meet with his godly people." See, here David is talking about maintaining a vertical position with God, but he's talking about maintaining a horizontal position and relationship with other people of God. See, we need to learn to praise God when other people are around. They see us praising God in the time of trouble instead of grumbling, and they begin to say, "Well, wait a minute. This guy's got something that I don't have." See, many people are not going to listen to you if you're always negative, making negative comments. People want to be around those who believe God. So let's limit our negative attitude. And let's limit being around those with negative attitudes. And build relationship with those who will face trouble with us with a positive attitude. Then one last thing I want to share with you today. Operate on biblical principles, not on your feelings and your emotions. James 1:20-21 in NLT says, "Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God, the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls." Here, in times of troubles, you can't let your emotions take over. It's time that you let the word of God that you planted in your heart take over. You see, and somebody says something against you, don't say, "Well, I'll get even with them." No, you say, "Hey, I'm going to go on and love that person anyway. I'm going to pray for them. What's that the Bible says? I'm going to go down the road." You see, base your response on the unchanging word of God, not on how you feel, because you may feel good one day and bad the next day. That doesn't make any difference. Base your response on what God says. See, you can never go under by standing on the promises of God. You know, we sang a song when I was growing up. We used to sing it all the time. Almost every time we went to church. Standing on the promises. The second verse of that song, "Standing on the Promises," says, "Standing on the promises of Christ my King, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I will prevail, standing on the promises of God." Now, I've just talked to you tonight for a few minutes about some things that will help you in the time of trouble. This time of trouble we're in, and any time of trouble that you get in. You know, that's what you church people, and then all of you others that have joined us, thank you. We're so glad to have you with us. You know that on Wednesday night, I try to give you a lesson that will help you in your natural and your spiritual life, and I feel like we've done that today. You know, these truths that I have talked to you about tonight will help you overcome any trouble that you get in. And one final word. Learn to take comfort in the promises of God instead of looking at your problems. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the word. I thank you that we'll begin to take these things that I've talked about. I realize everybody didn't need all of them, but everybody needed some of them. And I pray that each individual will take what is needed and from what I said, use it in their lives to help them to overcome all the situations and circumstances of life that come their way. Help us all to stand on the promises of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, you may be watching tonight, and maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Or you may know what it is to have faith in Him, but you've lost your faith and you need to rededicate your life. It's very simple to do. Very simple to come to Christ. Very simple to rededicate your life. Simply pray this prayer with me. Repeat it after me right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe that He died for my sin. I believe that He rose again and that He is alive and well today. You said in your holy word that if I would believe in my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did, I will be saved. You said, believe it in my heart and confess it with my mouth. And I'm doing that right now. Thank you, Lord. I am that new person in Christ right now. Amen and amen and amen. If you happen to pray that prayer with us, would you just go there on your device and go to partnerservices@rhema.org and let us know about it, because we want to connect with you. And let me say again, thank you, all you church members. It's so good. I mean, I was looking at Facebook the other day and watching all of you guys check in. That's what I like about Facebook. The others, I had it the other day, I had it on at home, and I was watching it on my YouTube on the TV, but I had my phone on the Facebook, and I could see everybody checking in. In fact, I made a couple of little comments myself to let people know I was there. So do that, okay? And hey, listen, this is going to be gone fast, and we're going to be able to come back together, and that's going to be a great time when we can't do that. But until then, we're going to have church like this, okay? And it's going to be good. Hey, be here Sunday morning, right here, 10 o'clock.